As you dive into this teaching from High Point Church, we pray that it will help you grow in your faith as you believe in, belong to, and become more like Jesus. If these messages bless you, would you consider giving back in support of this ministry? You can give and learn more about High Point at www.highpoint.church.
Good morning, High Point! Let's give it up for Jesus one more time. How many of us know when the Holy Spirit is here, anything could happen? Amen. And I just honor the presence of God that is in our midst. He said that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is right here. So I'm excited to be here. I'm honored to be here. And I want to honor each and every person here today. Because we could not do what we do in Stateville without your love and without your support. On behalf of every man at Stateville, I want to give you all the thanks from the men there. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So we've been in a series called The Unsung Hero. And during the last several weeks, we've been dealing with this topic and we have honored several of the unsung heroes in our life. And basically, we defined an unsung hero as a person who achieved great things or committed acts of bravery or self-sacrifice without being recognized. This morning, I want to talk to you today about the unsung hero within every person that is in this room. If we are truly born of the Spirit of God, God has literally called us to greatness. I think about when God created Adam from the very beginning. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion over everything. How many of us know that God has not changed his mind about mankind? He wants us to operate in a place called greatness. I think about also how God spoke to Abraham, and he told him to get out of your country and away from your kindred unto a land that I would give you. It sounds again that God was calling Abraham from the place that he was in into something greater. He told Abraham that your descendants will be as the stars of the sky, as the sand upon the sea, so shall your descendants be. It sounds to me that God has not changed his mind concerning you and I. What about when God brought Israel out of the land of Egypt? They were there for 400 years in slavery. And God sent Moses to bring Israel out of that place into the place that he always had for them. It sounds to me again that God has called him unto greatness. How many of us know that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light? As a matter of fact, the scripture says that greater is he that is inside of you than he that is in this world. You know, God wants to literally make you and I greater than life. God wants greatness in our life. And how many of us know that he has not called us to a place of mediocrity? Can I make an announcement today? I want to announce that God is doing something new in our church. He says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, because behold, I do a new thing. You know, it's unfortunate that a lot of times we get stuck on what was instead of where God wants us to be at. We serve a God that his mercies are new every morning. Amen? We're going from place to place and from journey to journey in the Lord. God has called you and I unto greatness. Now, it's important to understand that greatness from God's perspective doesn't mean or refer to how much money you have in your bank account or the lack of the money thereof. Amen? It doesn't equate to how many vacation homes that I have. Yeah, I know that that might be great in the sight of other people, but it's not real greatness when it comes to God. You know, there is another aspect of greatness as well. Greatness refers to God allowing us to grow or become great, magnified. He wants to enlarge where we are in our present situation. You know, it's sad that so many of us as Christians, we live beneath where God wants us to be. But I want to share with you today that God wants to stir and to activate a call to greatness. Amen? And sometimes it's difficult, right? Because sometimes we identify ourselves or see ourselves by what we've been through in life. But the Bible says again, if any man or person is in Christ, he's what? A new creation. All things are passed away and all things become new. Sounds to me that God has greatness in store for you and I. And today, I want to share with you three principles that will allow us to walk in the greatness that God has called you and I into. Amen? Number one, if we want to walk in the greatness of God, we have to walk away from a life of sin. Amen? We can't continue. We can't have it both ways. If God is God, then serve him. If he's not, then serve whoever. But God is saying that we cannot have it both ways. I want to read something real quick out of the book of Judges, the 6th chapter, first verse, and we'll get back into that. It says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. How many of us know that whenever we disobey God, we're literally doing evil in his sight? All unrighteousness is sin. So they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God delivered them into the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them thens, which are in the mountains, in caves, in strongholds. Now, mind you, God brought them out to possess the land. How many of us know that sin will cause us to be displaced from the things of God? Sin will cause us to be displaced. There's four things that sin will do. Number one, sin will cause us to become a slave. Number two, sin will cause our enemy to prevail over our lives. Number three, sin will destroy the increase in our life. And number four, sin actually will ultimately destroy us. How many of us know that the scripture says that the wages of sin is what? It's death. It will separate us from the very things of God. But how many of us are glad that we have a Savior? We have a Savior who is able to save to the uttermost. There's nothing in your life that you are struggling with that God cannot help you. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't let him think that make you think that there's no way out. The Bible says that there is a way, and his name is Jesus. How many of us are glad that the scripture says that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? I know in my heart that God is speaking to many of us today because he wants us to walk in greatness. But how many of us know that there's a responsibility on us in order to do that? A lot of times we say, well, yeah, I'm saved. How many of us know that the grace of God that saved you is the same grace that will give you the ability to say no to sin? In verse 4, it says, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor oxen, for they came up with their cattle and tents and came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. How many of us know that sin will bring us very low in our life? Sin will drag you very low. It says in the scriptures that because they did evil, that they were greatly impoverished by the Midianites. How many of us know that sin will bring us low? Sin will literally bring us low. When we think about Adam, what was he did? God created everything beautiful, and one choice to walk away from God, and all of that was taken away. Sin will separate you. The scripture says that when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death in our life. Amen? So we see that they were greatly impoverished because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And it came to pass that when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppress you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not for the gods of Abraham in whose lands you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. So I want to continue on the three steps that is required for you and I to walk in the greatness of God. How many of us know the scripture says, don't give place to the enemy. Do not give place to the devil. So as we mentioned in step one, is that we have to turn from sin unto our Savior. Now this is what we see in verse 6 of that chapter, and it says, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. What does that mean? That means they turned from their sin unto their Savior. In Hebrews, the Bible tells us, 12:1, let us lay aside every weight in the sin that does so easily beset us. Question, what area do you have in your life, rhetorical question, that you struggle with? What is it that I need to bring to the altar of God and allow him to deliver me from? How many of us know that Jesus already did his part, but we now have to do our part? We have to make up our mind that come hell, high water, no water at all, I'm serving Almighty God with everything. I'm turning away from a life of sin. The scripture says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sometimes we think, well, Jesus don't really mind me doing this. We do. We compromise, but all it takes is a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. But how many of us know that no matter what we're struggling with, God's grace is greater? He said where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. Meaning that there's nothing that I have in my life that God can't help me to overcome. I'm telling y'all, man, listen, I was out there bad. So for me to even be here is nothing but the grace of God. Amen? Amen? Nothing but the grace of God. And so I don't come to throw rocks at you, but what I want to do is encourage you to walk in greatness. The Bible says also in Romans, the 6th chapter, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How many of us know that all of us make mistakes, right? So I want to be clear that we understand that all of us make mistakes. But God is greater than anything that we're struggling with. His grace is sufficient. Amen? So we have to make up in our mind that we would walk away from a life of sin. Amen? Number two, if we want to walk in the greatness of God, if we want to awaken the unsung hero in us, can I share this with you? There is a place and a grace in Christ for every person that is in this room. There's a place and a grace in Christ for every person in this room. You might say, well, what do you mean by that? What I mean is that God saved each and every one of us for a purpose. God didn't just save us so that we can have a great life and go to heaven. No, there is stuff that he wants us to do here. There is a place in the body of Christ, in a grace for every person under the sound of my voice. And God has greatness for all of us, amen? But we have to make up in our mind that I'm gonna walk away from sin. It's rough. It's rough. I just be honest with you, it's not easy, right? Sometimes sin is pleasurable, but God's grace is greater. And the consequences of sin is death, amen? Number two, I wanna share this. That if we want to walk in the greatness of God and awaken the unsung hero within us, we must know that the Lord is with us. And we must begin to see ourselves as God sees us. And how many of us will admit that it's not always easy, right? Because life, a lot of time, doesn't look like what God said. Our situation and what we're going through, it doesn't look like what God has promised us. But we have to, no matter what we're going through, we have to know that God is with us. And we have to see ourselves from God's perspective. He said in his word that I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So when things get rough, when kids are acting up and finances are funny, we have to remember that no matter what I'm going through, he is there. The scripture says it this way in Psalms 46, that God is our strength and our refuge and a very present help when things are going good. No, he's a present help in the time of trouble. And this is why it is so important, and I know this is elementary, but it is so important that you and I learn how to walk by faith and not by what we see. We've been so accustomed to going by what we see that it actually incapacitates us to some degree. Because we're living by what we see instead of what God said. We must, if we're going to walk in the greatness of God, we must learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. And it's not always easy because our situation doesn't look like our revelation. And that's what we see in verse 13 with Gideon. He said, oh, Lord, if you are with me, then why is all this stuff happening in my life? Does anybody ever feel like that at times? Like I'm going through and it's like, where are you? Come on now, let's be real. See, that's another thing about church folk. How many of us know that God can't heal what we don't reveal? See, a lot of times we want to look the part, but inside we have issues. But God wants to help us with our issues. We have to learn to walk by faith. Can I say something about that? That's why it's so important for us to spend time in the Word. That's why it's so important for us to do what we're doing. You know why? Because it's building our faith. And how many of us know that without faith, it's impossible to please God? You know, everything that we receive from God comes by faith. So it's important, man, that we don't allow what we've been through to define who we are. And Gideon was saying, like, Lord, you brought us out of Egypt, but now you have forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. But in verse 12, we see that the angel of the Lord said unto Gideon, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You know, it's interesting as you study that out, the name Gideon literally means warrior. But as we look at that story in Judges, it looks like everything but a warrior in Gideon. But how many of us know God sees in us what we don't see in ourselves? God said, you mighty men of valor, the Lord is with you. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say that the Lord is with you. We need to remind ourselves, constantly remind ourselves that no matter what, the Lord is with us. And how many of us know that also we need to speak the word of God in face of what we're dealing with? God called Gideon a mighty man of valor. I want y'all to say four affirmations with me. Say, I am a person of strength. I am a person of might. I am a person of efficiency. I am a person of wealth. Now, I'm not a prosperity preacher, so don't get me, but what I do want to say is that there is a prosperity in God. And when we look at Abraham's life, he said, look, not only am I gonna make your name great. I'm gonna make your name great, and you will be a blessing to everyone. Amen. Let's just also pray this. Say, God, anoint my eyes that I may see myself as you see me. You know, that is so critically important because, again, a lot of times we just define ourselves and we place limitations on ourselves by the way that we view ourselves. But how many of us know that God wants to take ordinary people and do extraordinary things with them? Yeah. But we can't limit God by the way that we see ourselves. I'm telling y'all, man, don't listen. Miracles are still happening today. I don't care what nobody say. God is still on the move today, and he wants to use you and I. I've heard this said before, that you can never rise above the level of your thinking. How many of us remember the story of Israel when Moses sent the spies into the land? God told them, look, it's yours. Moses sent the spies in the land of Canaan, and 10 of them came back with an evil report. They was like, God, these grasshoppers. I mean, we like grasshoppers in our own sight. We got giants. Anybody ever feel like I'm dealing with this thing is just bigger than me? And it's because that our perspective is wrong. We need, as the scripture says in Romans 12, and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen? God wants us to take the limits off. He said that I am able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond whatever you can ask or even imagine. The last point I want to make to you all today is that if we want to walk in the greatness of God, if we want to awaken the unsung hero within us, is that we must learn to go in God's might. You know, here at High Point, at the conclusion of our services, we always say, walk in his strength. That is not a cliche. That is a reality, because I'm gonna tell you something. Life will hit you and press you above your measure. And how many of us know that it takes the strength of God? If y'all don't believe me, let me smack somebody. See who can turn the other cheek. It's the strength of God. I want to share this, and I'm just being transparent. I live every day relying on God's strength. I understand where my ability ends, God's ability begins. And it's important, man, that as Christians, and I know men in particular, we struggle with that, right? We struggle because we like, I got this all figured out. Listen, man, I thought about this all night and I came up with this brilliant idea. But how many of us know that it's not by our might, it is not by our power, but it's by the Spirit of God. It's by His strength. And the scripture says that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. We need to learn how to break ourselves before God. He says, I resist the proud, but I give grace to those that are humble. Those that realize that they're destitute without Him. Can't do life without Him. So we must learn to go in God's might. And that's what we see in verse 14. It says, and the Lord looked upon Gideon and said, go this in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? For how many of us know that like walking in the greatness of God requires supernatural ability? We can't do it on our own. We need God's strength and God's help. But how many of us know when we make that decision that we're going to rely on God? You know what? I'm going to share this. There was a time in my life where my family was trying to reach out and help me. You know, I was so far gone that no matter what they said, I continued to live the way that I wanted to live. But how many of us know, see, they couldn't do anything in their own strength, but it took the strength and the salvation of God to make a difference in my life. And I want to encourage you, man, that we would learn how to walk in His strength. He says that my grace is sufficient and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I'm going to end with these three things. When we walk away from sin unto our Savior, when we see ourselves as God sees us, and when we really learn how to rely upon His strength, we will awaken the unsung hero in you. Think about this for a minute. God took 12 men, fishermen. He took them from the ordinary and He did extraordinary things in their life. Called them to an office of an apostle, prophet, or whatever. Can I tell you the God's honest truth? He has not stopped this day. Have you ever wondered, what has God called me to do? What is His assignment on my life? I'm telling you, God wants to do something new in every person. But before He can do something new through us, He has to first do something new in us. We have to get rid of the limiting thoughts that we have about ourselves. God promised Israel the land of Canaanites. But how many of us know that they did not receive it until after 40 years? Why? Because they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Question, how do you really see yourself? I'm telling you, we are everything that God says that we are. And if we want to walk in God's calling, His anointing, His purpose, His power, we must turn away from sin to our Savior. We must begin to see ourselves as God sees us, and then we must learn how to walk in His might. Amen? Listen, rest on our feet. I'm going to pray with you all for a minute. And I just want to encourage you that there's greatness. There's more that God wants to do in your life. It's time out for being spectators. We have to participate in what God has ordained for our life. He told Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in your mother's belly, he said, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Question, what has God purposed for you? Let's pray. So, Father, I just thank you for your presence that is in this place. And Father, I'm just praying, Father, that you would just do what I cannot do. Father, you are able to do miracles, signs, and wonders. Father, I say to that one that is struggling right now, that they would know that your grace is sufficient, that your strength is made perfect in their weakness. And there is nothing that they're dealing with that you can't see them through. Father, would you give us wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you? May the eyes of our understanding truly be enlightened, Father. May we know the hope of our calling. And Father, lastly, would you help us to be strong in you? Would you help us to be strong in you, Daddy? Oh, my God, my God, my God. Have your way, Father. Have your way in this place. Father, I pray that the fire of your Holy Spirit would move in such a mighty way, Father, that you will not leave us as we were, Lord. Yes. But Father, that you will take us from glory to glory and from faith to faith, Lord. Father, your word says, being confident of this very thing, that you who started this work in us will complete it unto the day of Jesus. Have your way in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.